The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, and we will have, for this episode 151, a very special guest on the line from Pereira in the Coffee Zone. His name is Jorn Lundvigsen. He is the owner of El Lugar Boutique Hotel, but not only a boutique hotel, but very special restaurants there too. So we'll be talking to him about tourism, the industry, and his plan over the coming years, because he's a Dane, and we know that he's got everything in line, because of course in our chats previous to doing an interview, we've established that he's a very organized gentleman there in the Coffee Zone. So if you want to learn about more of the industry, about tourism in Colombia, and especially in the regions outside of the main cities, then tune into this episode 151 with Jorn, and it will be very interesting, I'm sure, because he's got plenty to share with us. So are we all enjoying the Olympics now? Well, talking of sports, I wanted to just raise the factor that two-time guest Dave Proctor, who's been on the show twice, a good guy from the north of England, cyclist who created the Legend of El Dorado with associates and friends from his base in Cali. So basically across Colombia, 7-day mountain biking race. It has come into fruition and indeed came to an end this last week, and it was a roaring success. So there you have it. You heard it here on Columbia Calling, Dave Proctor and the Legend of El Dorado. And we'll be looking to him and to have him back on again to talk about his experiences in organizing this sporting extravaganza, first of its kind in Colombia, how it went and how he will probably, you know, improve things. If of course he can improve things for next year, because it's going to be a yearly race. Talking about year-to-year things, you know, you've heard that I've been trying to create my Columbia Calling magazine. Well, the crowdfunding has been unsuccessful. I had 49 incredible backers, raised 14%, backers from 9 different countries across the world. Really touched to have so much money put into it, but we didn't make the target. So those of you who have put money in, I am bowing out gracefully, and your credit cards will not be charged. You will not be charged, or money will be returned to you, deposited back into the accounts, your PayPal, etc., from the Indiegogo platform. But again, thank you for all of you who've been involved in that. And I still believe it can come into fruition. There is interest there. There is potential. And I think rather than trying to do it privately through funding in that fashion, it should really be with private investors backing up. And of course, a little bit of advertorial in there. That's the truth of the matter. It's been a learning curve, but it's been fun. And of course, it has directed more people to the Columbia Calling podcast. And we have upped by over 1,000 downloads in the weeks that I was promoting on Indiegogo. So this is good news. The podcast is getting bigger and better. So listen, thank you all of you again for your participation, for your pledges, for your faith and confidence. It's not going to happen right away. It will happen somewhere in the future. But for the time being, I'll focus on the podcast, raising my son, walking my dog, studying the PhD, running the hotel and being a good husband, and not all necessarily in that order. So if you want to get in touch, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com, columbiacalling on Twitter and on Facebook. You can get in touch through our website, columbiacallingradio.com as well. So don't go away, because we're going to get Jon Ludvigsson on the line from Pereira very shortly. So we're going to take a short break and be back with Jon out there in El Lugar Boutique Hotel. Thank you for listening. I'm Richard McCall. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. And on the line from Pereira, or near to Pereira, in the coffee zone, we have a very special guest. On this episode 151 is Jon Ludvigsson, who's from Denmark originally, but is making his home out there in the coffee countryside in Colombia. And he's got, well, it's a hotel restaurant, but top end. We're talking properly top end. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is sort of the top end tourism in Colombia. So you're welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you very much, Richard. I'm happy to be here.
You're most welcome. Now, you've been out there. How many years have you been out in the countryside there in the coffee zone?
Well, basically, we started here 1 year ago, finding the place and defining the parameters and doing the build out. But we have been working on this since 2010. On identifying which would be the correct place for us to live our dream, our plan B in our life, to open a boutique hotel and gourmet restaurant.
Well, you've done it. I mean, you've got a three-room, so that's very boutique, because I know that the actually correct term for boutique is 9 rooms or less, not like what they're doing now in Atlantic City, 600 rooms, a boutique, a mega hotel or anything. You've got 3 rooms, and it's a proper, I've looked at the website, and it looks amazing. It looks properly top-end with that terrace bar and the restaurant and the pictures of the food. It looks great. But you're married to a Colombian, Nora Peña.
Yeah, I'm married to a Colombian. We've been married for the last 11 years. We spent first 5 years in Denmark, and then due to my work, we traveled 3 years in Mexico, then a couple of years in Brazil. And in that entire period, we started the landscape of doing the boutique hotel. And we have been evaluating both the Central America, the South America, different countries. And we came up with the conclusion that in the world of today, in the world of tourism and where are the attractive markets, Colombia definitely had a first place, both on a, let's say, cost establishment perspective, but also on the tourism security. And we believe that here in the coffee region in Pereira is absolutely the perfect spot for us to start our business. So we did that a year ago. And now, since early May, we're in business.
I mean, it's fantastic. And I can see why you'd set up in that area. I mean, it's so lush and beautiful, and it should be on everyone's list of anyone coming to Colombia, and the national tourists as well. I mean, that's the thing. It's so amazing. For example, my parents-in-law are from the coast, the Caribbean coast. They've never been to the coffee zone. And I keep telling them, we will go. We will go. You have to go, because it's just incredible. It really is. And it's unlike anywhere else. In the country, and you're close to major cities as well.
Yes, I think that we were actually scavenging or searching a lot in Quindío, which is the declared tourism zone of the coffee region, and we did that for many travels over the last 5 years. But we ended up choosing Pereira because Pereira is actually in the center of the coffee triangle. Mm-hmm. From here in our hotel, we are 1 hour, 1.5 hour away from all the major established attractions and the major tourism areas, the nature reserves that are here in Colombia, in Quindío, in Caldas, in Risaralda. So to us, it was a logical choice to start it here and to also include a transport service for our guests. We have a little mini bus, and it's very, very apt for foreigners, in particular Europeans, who need to to see all the marvelous places of the coffee region and all the fantastic nature which we have around here, but which may feel a little uncertain or insecure on going on their own or taking a taxi service or taking a bus. So we try to combine the location with our knowledge of the whole area and offer that as a complimentary or complete service to people who want to stay with us.
And of course, and that's what you are catering for. When you go for this top end, you are looking at that, the proper transport services, you're looking at having the bespoke tours organized, and the people say, well, you know, this is what we want to look at, and you can also recommend other places. Tell me something. Pereira is how far away from you right now?
Right now, Pereira on a... The center of Pereira is 15 kilometers away.
So it's nowhere. It's so close.
It's close. It's 20 minutes by car. The airport is 10, 12 minutes from here. We are a little on the southwest side of Pereira. Mm-hmm. So let's say we are away from the city. We're away from the density, the noise, the little more pollution in the city than in the countryside, mm-hmm. but we're still close enough to be attractive to go to the more elaborate entertainment zones in the city.
Yeah, definitely. Now, and I don't remember, but does Pereira have international flights, or is it Armenia and Manizales?
Yeah, Pereira has international flights. Armenia also has international flights. I think that from Pereira, you can take trips directly to the United States, as you can for from Armenia too. But I think Pereira is the third most busy airport in Colombia. You have Bogota, you have Cartagena, which of course are major transit hubs, but Pereira is number three.
Wow. I did not know that at all. Wow, that's amazing. But so that puts you in at an amazing advantage for international visitors to come and enjoy the coffee zone.
Yes, and we combine that because also we have an offering that not so many places here have, that we speak seven languages.
Yes, I can see that. That's not so many places anywhere in Colombia speak seven languages.
Not really.
But so tell me a little bit about, before we get into more about the hotel, we've talked a little bit about the region and why it's attractive. We'll get into that as well. But what is your background? How did you end up your cooking and running a top-end boutique hotel?
So yeah, that's a good question. How does anybody end up where they are? I think it's a series of personal choices. My background is a little atypical. I spent many years in the army in Denmark. Then I worked in international positions in big IT companies for 10, 12 years, almost 15 years. But my dedicated passion has always been cooking.
Really?
I have worked with the caterings. I work with the top-end restaurants north of Copenhagen in Denmark. I have some certificates and qualifications. My wife has her background from hotelery. She has three careers, one in logistics, one in business sales and marketing, and one in hotel management here from Colombia. And we just combined that. And it somehow is difficult to explain that. I always said, I don't want to make my hobby my work.
Yeah.
But now I can say that I have made my passion my life.
Okay.
So combining the knowledge I have of international cuisine, cooking, with the knowledge my wife has of Colombian hotelery has proven to be a very, very solid concept.
I can believe that. I can believe that now. And so do you... you get involved in the day-to-day basis of, let's say, the bureaucracy in Colombia, or do you leave that completely to your wife?
I would love to say I leave that completely. That is not the case. You live here. You have to follow the flow.
Yeah.
And everybody is a participant or a victim, depending on how you see it, on the administrative fluctuations on the day-to-day work here in Colombia. It's not always easy. There is a certain mañana culture. There is a certain, we are all connected electronically, but let's have two prints of that and three signatures and a stamp before it's valid, which is, I think, typical to the Latin region.
Yes.
I saw the same in Mexico. We saw the same in Brazil. But here, at least, when you have it on paper, when you have the signature, when you have the record established and the agreement, it stands. So that is a little more secure, a little more firm here mm-hmm. than in other Latin American countries we have lived in.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I would say so. I mean, I've lived in a number of Latin American countries, but never been so involved as I am now, you know, 10 years into Colombia. And so it's like, well, yeah, you know, the bureaucracy is a bureaucracy. It comes with the territory, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's just one of those things. You don't move here expecting it to be as smooth, let's say, as Denmark or maybe even the United Kingdom. This is why we're here for an adventure, for a change of life, and you know, to do something different. Otherwise, you'd still be at an IT company, and I'd still be, I don't know, slaving away in some suit somewhere, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think when you say it goes with the territory, you know, you say maybe it's more smooth in other countries, it's more regulated, it's more transparent. Mm. On the other hand, I will compare this to our room service menu.
Uh-huh.
We don't have any.
Okay.
Because if you have a room service menu, you have this pizza, this soup, this piece of lasagna, whatever, and that gives you an option. But it also gives you a limitation. You have this and only that.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a room service menu and tell people, what do you want? We will fix it. Then you have all the options in the world. And it's the same with the set bureaucracy here gives a certain amount of rules, but everything is negotiable.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And that gives you a variety of options that you do not find in the very well regulated, kind of restricted communities that you and I know from United Kingdom, yeah. From Denmark.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you about your room service menu, but it seems a good time to ask that. So you don't have options, so people have to think about what they might want. Does it turn out that people end up asking for the same thing? Is there sort of like a general thing? People, the hamburger or something?
No, it's completely individual.
Wow.
Because what we have seen here, in particular with the difference between European tourists and American tourists, is that we try to guess their wishes. And instead of waiting for them to ask, we look at them and say, you need something a little sweet, a little salt, a little snack. Do you need a drink? What are you looking for? And they say, something sweet. What can you suggest? I said, we have a variety of desserts. Do you want it more in the vanilla rice? Do you want ice cream? Do you want a pancake? Do you want a crepe succès? What do you want? And they kind of like, just surprise me. And 99 times out of 100, they don't have a specific wish. They just say, surprise me, make me happy. And we do that.
That must be quite fun, you know, just to say, wow, I'm going to surprise this person. I mean, but do you get travelers, or I mean, let's say visitors who are so traveled, they look jaded?
Yeah.
And so to surprise them, you're going to have to do something really out of the ordinary.
No, but it is really funny. And actually, we have the routine here that we're open Wednesday to Sunday, you know, 12 noon till 10 at night for dinner and the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a group of ladies who consistently always come Mondays and Tuesday when we're closed. And they come to celebrate birthdays or bring their grandchildren or bring a girlfriend at Terraza Cafe. And they always call, we're coming in 30 minutes. We're going to be 4 or 5 ladies. Are you open? Said, for you, we're always open. It's the birthday, a celebration. No, but if you have a balloon and a nice flower, we'll be happy. So we do a balloon and a nice flower, and they come and say, so today we're closed, so we don't have a menu. That's okay. Just surprise us. Like 2-3 courses. Just make us happy.
That's
and
phenomenal.
And then I just do something, and they're extremely happy.
That's just phenomenal. I like that. I love repeat visitors. I think that's obviously that's the success to any establishment is people repeat, and that they know that they are, you know, treated like royalty. You know, surprise us, put something on with like a balloon and a flower. I think that's wonderful. I can just imagine it. I can just imagine the type of person as well. But so I just we're going to take a short break now, but we're talking to Jorn Ludvigsson, who's in Pereira. He's at his hotel called El Lugar. Lugar. You can look that up. It's the hotelellugar.com. And it's in the coffee zone. So we're talking a little bit about the business and the region. This is episode 151 of Columbia Calling, but we will be right back after this short break with further tales and anecdotes from Jørn Ludvigsen, a Danish national out there in the coffee zone, the Colombian coffee zone. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, episode 151, and I'm talking to Jørn Ludvigsen, who's in the coffee, the Eje Cafetero, the coffee zone, the coffee axis in Colombia, close to Pereira, the city of Pereira. And we're talking, well, not only about the industry and Colombia in general, but we're talking about his little, you know, boutique hotel, top-end boutique hotel and restaurant there called El Lugar. The website is hotellugar.com, so you can check that out, but it will be on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. But we've talked about how you ended up there and why you're there, but I do know that you have a 5 to 10 year plan. At the moment, you have 3 rooms and some very nice restaurants, but where do you see yourself with this establishment in, let's say, 10 years?
Well, 10 years is a good horizon here in Colombia because things take a little time, as you know.
Yes.
What we see is that we're going to consolidate the place and get the reputation as a very nice resort with the restaurant de autor. And in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to expand with 16 to 24 suites, maybe even build a little pool. And in order to attract a more massive stream of the more mature traveler that we see coming to Colombia. Uh-huh. So that is the longer horizon plan. Right now it's just to consolidate the business and basically survive.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you're doing more than surviving there. With, you know, you've got a quality product that you're selling, that you've got local people coming to, you know, patronizing. You must be doing fine. You must be doing fine. It's still early days. You said you'd started in 2015. The house on the website that I've looked at, it looks incredible. But perhaps you could tell us or share with the listeners a little bit more about the area that you're in, this part, this natural environment. Why is it that people should be visiting the coffee area and in particular El Lugar?
Well, in particular because El Lugar is a good place with high attention, and we try to really do a boutique service 24/7. Uh-huh. But putting that aside, I would say that our location centrally in the coffee region makes it a very, very good starting point for really seeing and experiencing the sights and the nature of the Central Colombia, which is so amazing. We can only recommend to go and see some of the nature reserves. We have relations with close by Cauquita, with some of the fincas where they raise exotic animals. They have like big farms with different butterflies, different flowers and everything. Where we go and take people, they get special tours. It's very, very peaceful. And I would say that one thing is to experience everything that the region has to offer. The other thing is the chance to really, really disconnect from every day without being disconnected from the world. By that, you know, we have taken great effort in having all the connectivity, the internet, everything. We are really well connected from an electronic perspective, but we will allow people to be completely pampered, see what they want to see, and do what they want to do, and maybe not unlike, but very different from many other tourist agencies and tourist operators here. We do not take people where we think they should go. Uh-huh. We take people where they want to go. We go somewhere and they say, what's happening there? We say, we don't know. Let's stop the car. Let's go out and ask. Uh-huh. Gives people unique experiences, communicating, getting in touch with local communities, picking fruit on mountain hills and milking goats. You know, everything is possible. There's nothing is impossible. This is what we are doing slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to see.
There is so much to see out that way, and far beyond the regular tourist areas. And of course, with your on-the-ground knowledge, that's going to be second to none. But tell me a little bit, and I know this podcast goes out to more than just Colombians in the diaspora and people thinking of visiting to Colombia, but also the expat crowd. But Colombia is very much in the news at the moment, the politics and everything. But it's completely safe where you are. We have to talk about this because it's one of those things that has affected tourism for so long here. But
I know.
But you are completely safe. Everything is fine.
Well, let me put it this way, that I've been spending 3 years in Mexico and 2 years in Brazil, and I feel more safe here than in those places. No disregard to Mexico, no disregard to Brazil. But if you look at the nature and the construction of Colombia as a country, and you say in the center of the country is an area which is under high attention from police, from politicians, from security forces, to keep that safe, then they have succeeded.
Yeah.
It's a complete green zone. There is no trespass of any activities from FARC guerrillas. Of course, in the urban areas, there are areas you shouldn't go to, but here we know it. And the difference from Colombia and the many places I've visited in the world is that here in Pereira, in Cali, in Bogota, in Medellin, you have specific areas where you know, just don't go there. And that's not about being foreign, not about being a tourist. It's about not belonging there. Don't go there.
Yeah.
When you go to cities like Mexico City, Sao Paulo, it's everywhere. It's random. So the insecurity is everywhere. Here, it's confined to little areas. And the transport in the tourist zone here is so peaceful, so relaxed, and so protected. I have seen in a small town called Finlandia, which is a marvelous post-colonial city, that a couple of American tourists were walking across the city square. And then two or three young guys, maybe 12, 13 years old, starting running after them and mocking them. Immediately, a couple of very grown-up guys came out from a nearby cafe, took hand of these three kids, and basically told them, "This is our tourist. Don't harass them. They have to be safe." And they were carried away from the square. So they do everything they can to protect tourism in the region. Very high attention, very safe transport, very safe trespassing all over.
It's so good to hear that. You know, it's so refreshing. And you know, Colombia in the tourism areas, as you say, it's easy to manage and move around. But I also think that those people, the population of the coffee zone, in my opinion, just seem to be so well educated and polite and respectful as well. I think you know, there's a big difference between, let's say, as well you know, between the Eje Cafetero and going up to the Caribbean coast. I mean, there's different populations altogether, different realities on life. I've been down to the coffee zone a couple of times, and I'm always amazed at the way that people carry themselves, the way how politely you are addressed and everything. And it's so refreshing, certainly for me, leaving either Bogota or the coast. It's like, so nice to speak to these people who seem to have so much pride and they want to share it with not only people who are coming from overseas, but also national tourists visiting. In my little place in Mompox, when we get people who come from Manizales or Pereira, we love it because they are just wonderful, you know, really, truly interested and interesting people.
Extrovert, amiable, communicative, and extremely nice.
Yeah.
Of course, there are differences. If you go to Quindío, which is a region of hardcore tourism for backpackers for many years, like Salento. There are some traditions, there are some, what will you call it? There's some fixed perception of tourism because they have been able for the last 20 years to attract a certain level of tourism. So, of course, the entire industry is directed towards that particular kind of tourism.
Yeah.
Whereas in Risaralda, tourism is fairly new, and they are attracting more international, more mature travelers who come for a different culinary experience, for a different attention level, than a backpacker would normally do in the area of Quindío. So it's a little, there's a change going on. It's not a landslide. It's coming, you know, step by step. But I see a certain development that the mature tourist who would earlier go maybe to Cartagena or to Bogota or the late couple of years to Cali are now going towards the coffee region. And they are excavating or searching for solutions where they get the level of attention and the level of comfort that they would expect from going to any metropolitan or high-level tourist area all over the world. And this is emerging here, and it's going steady, not as fast as it could go in any places, but it's emerging very steady, and I think it's a super interesting, super good development that will help in particular Colombia and in particular this region to grow on the global map of exclusive and good tourism.
I think you're onto something, and of course you know all about it. I've been seeing this change, and you know, I first started coming to Colombia in 1998, but I've only lived here now full time for 10 years. But I've seen this change. I've seen it happening, and it's not just in the coffee zone. It's all over the country. I know you can get your top end places in Cartagena, but Cartagena is a different beast. You know, that's been visited for 30 plus years now. But beyond now, even let's say sort of middle aged professional couples who like to think or like to sort of try and represent an adventure in Colombia, but they still want a very nice place to go. You know what they know what they want. It's not a backpacker market, and I've seen that transition being made. It will be hard, I reckon, for towns like Salento to make the full switch. But then that's where you come in. You know, you are offering something nearby.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. For instance, if you mention Salento many of the cities in the coffee region that are traditional for backpacker tourism, they have a certain resistance to change because it worked yesterday, so it will work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they do not necessarily see that there is a global demand for a different offering portfolio.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is that if you take the three regions here, Quindío, Risaralda, and Caldas, each of the regions with ProColombia in the top are having a 8 to 10 year plan for tourism development, which comprises the safety of the tourists, the offerings in hotels and lodging, and the culinary experience, and the protected areas, like because it's on the UNESCO list of World Heritage areas here. What we found interesting was to read the end goal for Caldas and Risaralda, which is a 2022-2025 plan. And then we established ourselves at their end goal. So what we actually did was saying, okay, this is what they want to achieve, so we start there. So we basically took the quantum leap into the future and said, if this is what they want to do, then let's start there. So we did that.
I don't think I've ever heard the phrase quantum leap in Colombia. So I think that you're the first. But of course,
that quantum leap here takes 5 minutes.
Yeah. but fantastic. I mean, you know, that's a vision for the future. It's a vision to make yourself a sustainable business. I mean, that's the deal, rather than, you know, just trying to open, imitating the place that's next door to you, which is the problem that we have in Mompós, for example. Since we've opened, 10 other hotels have opened, all trying to do the same thing, some with varying degrees of success and some not at all. I mean, that's what happens in small isolated towns, and it's usually generated by a degree of envy. But you've been fine. You've not been struck by the green-eyed monster of envy by anyone else out there in your region.
Well, let's say that we have had our therapeutic challenges in establishing our profile.
Yeah.
We are clearly in a niche. We are a super small, exclusive niche.
Yeah.
And in particular for the local customers, the customers coming from Bogota, from Cali, from the coast, they are all accustomed to negotiate everything on the price.
Yes.
and I am accustomed at delivering quality. So we have done a lot of negotiations on events, on weddings. We start getting weddings here, which is very funny. And I have decided together with my wife that there's no more compromise. They come here, they want something different, they want something better, and then I say, but then that's the price.
Yeah.
And I say, can we have a 10% discount? Yes, which part of the food don't you want to eat? it's very simple. And this negotiation form has given us a lot of respect with some very, very good customers, and we have people coming again and again. We're starting to get corporate customers. But for others, like the normal event managers and arrangers, it's very difficult for them to comprehend the idea that we pay 15 million for chairs and 2 million for food. And I say, okay, here you pay 2 million for chairs and 15 million for food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult.
Yeah.
So we're in a therapeutic challenge with the environment, tradition, customized way of thinking, but we're okay with it. It's costing us some customers, but it's giving us the right customers.
Well, you know, at the beginning, we would negotiate. At the very beginning, back in 2008, we'd negotiate because tourism was so low for us where we were.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I have very, very competitive prices. They obviously increase by a certain percentage year on year.
Yeah.
But it's a reflection of quality and service. You know, I'm not my place. I'm not trying to be a boutique. I'm trying to be an upper mid-range, you know, hotel. That's my market. I know who I'm looking for. But I cannot negotiate down because then, you know, we're not even talking about profit margins. It's about being able to still, offer what I want us to be able to offer. And when you say, well, if you could knock off 50,000 pesos, let's say $20 or $15. Well, I say, yes, I can, but we'll have to turn off your aircon, you know. If you've been in Montfort, it's 38 degrees, you know. You've got to have aircon. We're held at the mercy of the utilities businesses as
You're
well.
Right.
Electricaribe is very expensive. I cannot give away. And then the other day we got a TripAdvisor criticizing us for being a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what do you expect? To come to a charity? I can understand fully. I understand fully where you're coming from. I understand how this issue. But, you know, if you've got your clientele, if you've got these people who keep coming back, then then you're well on the way, you know, because it's them talking to their friends, talking to their next friends and so on. And that's a success story.
Oh, yeah. I think that mouth to mouth is basically the most efficient promotion tool here in this region.
Oh, of course.
Like in most of Colombia. But we have people who come here and say, or they call us, no, our friends said we should come. We have romantic dinners. I have two people sitting here, and like halfway through the dinner, they start calling their friends. They say, guys, you should have been here with us.
Yeah.
And you know, what I'm trying to make our guests understand, or we try to make the environment understand, that I serve a Chateaubriand with a demi-glace, which is like a classic French dish.
Yes.
At 42,000 pesos. And then they say, we want to have a Brazilian churrasco at 35. I said, well, in order to do that, you need 6 kinds of meat and you're 20 people. I need to have enough meat that everybody can just eat the same meat. So that starts at 75,000. No, all our places just 30,000. I said, well, then go there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But so let's move on from this, because I think we could go around in stories in this one between the two of us. Now, you're working with local farmers and local coffee producers there, aren't you, to get your products?
Yes. One of the things that we put in a central place in our dream to do this is the idea of paying it forward. We are working. I have two young students, one from EGO, Escuela Gastronómica Occidente, and one from a kitchen school in Tuluá.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching them to work into a more international state scenario and to do presentations. We also have three local employers that we're gradually teaching into working in international standards on serving a table, maintaining guest needs, doing cleaning and maintaining the hotel. We have our own barista who is studying with Senna, who's managing our Terrace Cafe, and we have two social projects. One is with a farmer in Salamina, Caldas, where we buy the coffee at a 50% overprice to the market and make sure we get the high quality beans. We do all the toasting ourselves, and we do all the grounding of the coffee ourselves and serve that. We don't have machines. We only use manual coffee production, so we can produce 7-8 different flavors out of the same grain. At the same time, we have a project with a local guy who has family in Choco, and he goes there every 3-4 weeks and collects cacao. And he's doing cacao puro, which is a 95% pure cocoa that we're using for all our creams, our chocolates, our ice creams, our ganache, our bakery. And we try to help, let's say, local producers of high-end quality products who would usually not have access to selling their things at a high-end market.
Oh, this is good. Definitely in the future that karma is going to come back, you know, and pay off.
Yes, and we have a contact to two small local farmers who do different vegetables and fruits, and they're growing everything organically. We have our own organic little garden that we use for tomatoes and parsley and things. So we try to do something which is very sustainable and develop the delivery flow with local providers who would never have any chance to sell directly to the end consumer, but we have to sell to the major chains who buy it in bulks and bags.
That's amazing. It's amazing. It's so positive. I have to ask you, you know, between your all of these different projects, the hotel, the restaurant, your own little garden, and everything else, do you have any time to relax?
Yeah, I think I'll relax up maybe the 25th of December.
You're closed for Christmas.
No,
so no.
I just don't hope there'll be any customers. I know that's a feeble hope.
No, but it
doesn't. We have a wedding on the 17th, the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 26th of December. We have four weddings there, so we'll be busy in Christmas.
You will be very busy.
You know, relax is many things.
Yes.
And being fulfilled, feeling completion, it's also a kind of relaxation. It's like a confirmation you're doing something right, and that gives you the peace of mind that you can actually survive very long hours continuously.
Yeah, I get the impression that you are incredibly happy and contented with what you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
This is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Well, of course, if you weren't happy, you wouldn't be doing it. I mean, this is the truth. And your wife, Nora Pena, she's happy there too.
Extremely happy, and we both have a basic philosophy. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing it well, whatever it takes, and then we do it.
Fantastic. It's so good to hear. It's so good to hear. So when will you break ground on new for the new buildings?
I think we will do that around August next year.
August next year. Okay. Well, it's not so far away, is it?
No, but we need 1 year to consolidate, and because Nora has been away from the country for 11, 12 years, and I'm new to the country, we're suffering with one of the, as you call it, the administrative hurdles that we don't have a bank history of 2 years, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we need to basically run the business for 2 years before we can get the accreditation we need to start an establishment project.
Yes, this is too. So as you say, the challenges that are launched at you for being out of the country. But that's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, you can get you'll get by. You'll get by, and it's, you know, again, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No.
So, well,
there's a wonderful saying here: give time to the time.
Give time to the time.
True.
I like that. That must be from the coffee zone, or is it from everywhere? I've never heard it before.
No. But well, maybe it's more via the Cauca Morcaleña, but my wife uses it all the time. Give time to the time.
I'm going to use it now.
Then you will find a solution.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, let me take this moment, Bjorn, and to say thank you so much for being on Columbia Calling and for sharing with us your experiences out there in the coffee zone. I wish you all the best in the future. I'm sure it's going to be a roaring success because it sounds like you've got the idea, you're making it happen, you're working with the locals, and that in itself is a success. If you've got the support of your providers and the local people, then there's no reason why it shouldn't, grow into what you want it to be within the 10 years.
No, I agree with you. And thank you very much for the interview. It was a privilege and a pleasure to work with you and getting a voice in the program. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Of course, I can't promise you clients, but hopefully we can spread the word a little bit more. But if you're out there and you want to come to the coffee zone and you're thinking around Pereira or that area, look up hotellugar.com. That is Jorn and Nora's hotel, El Lugar. It sounds from the conversation we've just had, but it looks like on the website a really special place to spend some time, and as you say, disconnect and just leave the stress of the world behind for a little bit and be attended to.
True.
All right. Well, this has been Columbia Calling, episode 151. I'm Richard McColl. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I certainly have. If you want to get in touch, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com. Our website's columbiacallingradio.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, all of the places featured on Columbia Calling will be listed on our Facebook page and promoted on Twitter. So please get in touch. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.